Good morning. When the Filipino Fellowship was meeting to plan for this day, I spoke with Uncle Bill, and he says, I've got it. I've got a theme. He says, sing, praise, live. And I immediately went to the book, Eat, Pray, Love, right? But, I waited for Uncle Bill to say more about it. And he says, you know, I grew up singing hymns, both in English and in Tagalog. And so, at some point, I knew them by heart. And so it kind of reminded me of how certain things, you know that they've become a part of your life because they've slipped into your subconscious. And you don't even realize that you're doing it. So you know hymns by heart and you start singing. And I think for many people, singing is actually a practice that does slip into your subconscious. And whether you're a shower singer, a hummer, or a steering wheel drummer, there is singing that you do that you don't think about, that it's just there and it's always with you. I actually can't remember a time in my life when singing wasn't part of it. But there were several experiences that helped singing to slip into my subconscious, and I want to share a few of those with you today. One of my earliest memories is singing in the children's choir at First United Methodist Church of Inglewood. I remember wearing a starchy white robe that smelled funny. I realized later that smell was mothballs, and it had a big red bow in front of it that attached under the collar with snaps. And even though I didn't know what the lyrics meant at the time that we were singing, I was only four, I just loved singing. And I loved it so much that during one of our performances, there was this long piano bit, an instrumental bit, but I was so excited and happy to be singing, and I had been practicing that song, and I was gonna go in there like a boss. And I started singing early, like really early. You know, it's one of those, and you realize you start singing and nobody else is singing, and that was my first experience with being completely mortified. Fortunately, well, actually, let me back up a moment. So I am my mother's daughter, so it's natural for me to be tragic. So for the rest of the song, I cried. I just crumbled and cried for the rest of the song. Luckily, fortunately for me, it did evoke some giggling in the congregation, and the choir director at the time did come to me, and she gave me a big hug, and I don't remember what she said, but there were some words of encouragement, and doggone it, the following Sunday, I showed up there for practice for the next performance, and it didn't stop me from singing. Thank you. Another time in my life where singing figured in pretty prominently was actually almost 30 years ago when I started singing with Los Cancioneros Master Chorale. And actually Marshall and Margie and Rick sing with that choir now, that choral group. I was also singing with the choir at my church, and those two experiences made me feel grown up. And singing with the choir at church at that time made me feel like I had gone through a rite of passage and grown up. And finally, the people that had seen me grow up in the church, finally saw me as sort of a grown up. But it was in Los Cancioneros that I really feel like my voice and my musical horizons grew. Until then, my whole world, including my musical world, was pretty small. I knew a little bit about classical music from taking piano lessons, and of course, it was the 80s, so there was popular music at the time, you know, big hair, big music, and steady beats. But it wasn't until singing with Los Cancioneros that my knowledge base and my experiences really opened up. We sang lots of show tunes and standards that were arranged for choral performance because that was entertaining. But it was the first time in that time singing with them that I sang in languages other than Latin or English. It was actually the first time I had sung an entire song in Tagalog by heart, by myself. And it was the first time I'd worked on music that really challenged my singing ability and what I understood about the human voice as an instrument and about choral music as an art form. That experience, coupled with being in college and getting married all in that time frame, really pushed my edges and grew me as a person. Finally, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my time singing with Messenger. Singing with Messenger totally happened by accident. At the time, Rachel and her second cousin Christine, who was our pastoral intern at the time, and Stephen were walking into a meeting with Pastor Joanne after church one Sunday, and Christine says to me, "Hey, we're gonna talk to Pastor Joanne about maybe starting a contemporary worship service. You should come." I was teaching full-time at that time and working on my master's degree, and Scott and I had two small children, boys, and I needed another thing to do, like a hole in my head. But I went to that meeting, and it touched off nearly 19 years of hard work, learning how to sing completely differently than I had learned how to sing, how to plan worship, and to be a leader, a servant leader, all the while trying to really feel connected to the music that we were sharing. And whether it was a hymn that was written by John Wesley or a praise song by Tarin Wells, when we heard lyrics that spoke to us, we wanted to know the stories behind those songs, because knowing those stories allowed for us to sing from a feeling of connection and being able to identify with the experience that inspired that song. And we were doing those songs because they meant something to us and not just because the tune was catchy or that there was a cool melody. And somewhere along the way, I made really dear friends who are a treasure to me. Rachel and I are, you can't ask us to do anything in this church without getting both of us. And I find it wildly ironic and probably a God thing that our names happen to be biblical names of sisters. So she's been just a tremendous part of my life and the rest of the band members. But also somewhere along the way, what we were doing stopped being about us doing the music because it was only fulfilling to us. We wanted to keep church relevant, not only for us, but for the kids that were coming up in church. We wanted those songs to be part of their subconscious and not just expressions of our faith, but eventually of theirs as well. So looking back on those experiences, it's like things have come full circle. I love singing a lot, just as much as I did when I was 4. And sometimes I still come in early, really early. But we just keep singing, just keep singing. And the songs that we've chosen to do as a band really, really have been expressions of our faith, a huge part of our life and our subconscious. And I hope they'll always be the songs that move us to sing and praise and live. Thank you.